Our next case for this morning is Orozco v. Gonzalez.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, I am Jesus Ruiz Velasco for the petitioner. And this case is primarily involves a credibility finding of the immigration judge. And also, importantly, is whether the immigration judge misapplied the law in determining the petitioner's burden of proof.
Now, there isn't much we can do about a credibility finding, is there?
Well, yes. We can focus on the misapplication of the law initially, and this court can overturn a credibility finding, an adverse credibility finding, or at least remand to the Board of Immigration Appeals to reassess the facts if it can turn the outcome of the case.
But in the cases where we have required additional proceedings and credibility was at the heart of it, those are either cases where the immigration judge has seized on some utterly peripheral and irrelevant point and saying, you know, he's wearing a red tie, so I don't think he's credible or whatever. Or cases where there's really simply no explanation at all. And in this case, the immigration judge gives a thorough enough explanation of why he's come to the credibility. It's really his call on credibility.
Of course, and although, as it's stated in the record, there are some discrepancies, I don't think they're sufficient to sustain a finding of lack of credibility. I don't think the discrepancies went to the heart of the claim. I think they were misunderstandings to a certain extent that were the main issue that the judge and the board and the government is focusing on as far as credibility goes is his identification card from the Liberal Party.
Right, I was going to say, I mean, the judge thought, and it seems fairly reasonable to me, that this was, in fact, quite a central point, because if FARC was just, you know, in general harassing him for no particular reason, because FARC harasses people, that's one thing. If he was somehow immediately identifiable out on the road with the Liberal Party card, that's something that takes you closer to the statutory grounds of political opinion. So in that sense, the immigration judge thinks this is, in fact, quite an important point.
It is, as far as the misunderstanding was that he said he had one, and then he later clarified that, explaining that he did not carry that card. However,
you're using the word clarify. The immigration judge thought that he was trying to kind of fix the testimony. He just found it. I'm not sure he would have used the word clarify.
Well, I think in the records, you know, there's sufficient evidence in the record where Mr. Orozco would have been identified as a member of the party without a card. He was very involved in the Liberal Party. He ran for public office several times. He held meetings. He attended meetings. And I don't think FARC persecuted him only on that basis. He was also very involved with wealthy, educated cattle ranchers who his wife's family was involved and owned this ranch. I think that also is another reason why FARC knew of his harassed him is what the government called it.
Well, that's what I wanted to get to. Even if you can find the political opinion, even if you can find the social group, the immigration judge's alternative finding is that the things that happened to Mr. Orozco simply are not serious enough to qualify for persecution under both the board's law and the law that's developed in the various circuits. It's always kind of a line-drawing exercise to decide what's mere harassment and what's actual persecution, but that's what the board's there for, right?
Of course, and I also have take issue in my brief regarding the past persecution, whether or not it was more than mere harassment, which we contend that it was. There have been decisions, and there is precedent that unfulfilled threats do not constitute actual persecution. What I wanted
to... Well, at least without a real immediacy, to them. And I guess the immigration judge wasn't persuaded that the threats here had that kind of immediacy.
Yes, and that's what the judge clearly stated in his opinion, that even if my client was a member of this social group of the educated landowning cattle ranchers, nothing ever happened. No harm or threats came about to his wife's family. That has very recently changed in where one of the sons of his wife's...
Is that in the record?
It's not in the record.
Deal with that then, can we? I mean, you have to ask the BIA to do something if you have new evidence.
Right. And there was a recent case where new evidence did arise and a motion was submitted to the court with its new evidence, and it was remanded to the BIA for a reassessment based on this new evidence. Now, in this case, I recently found out was not able to file a motion because the corroborating evidence has not arrived at this point. But there have been there was a killing in one of her family's sons, the cattle ranchers, which I think would considerably change the outcome of this case. If
I just don't see how, at this stage, what's before this court, how we can properly take that into account. I recognize what you're saying, but there has to be some other avenue for you to raise this.
Yes. Now, back to the credibility issues. The fact that, everything is so focused on this Liberal Party membership card, that I believe that I don't think that shouldn't be the whole basis of not finding my client credible, based on this misunderstanding where he felt that he had to show some kind of tangible document to prove his membership in this political organization, where he had a history of being involved based on, again, his running for public office, running meetings, having trying to persuade people to be more active in this party.
Okay, if you are interested in saving rebuttal time, you might want to consider it. You're free to use up your time now, too, if you would prefer.
I will save some rebuttal time.
Mr. Casey.
May it please the court, my name is Patrick Casey. I'm an attorney with the Environmental Enforcement Section of the Department of Justice. I represent the Attorney General in this matter. This petition has been reviewed by an immigration officer who reviewed the application with the petitioner and his wife. It has also been thoroughly reviewed by an immigration judge where the petitioner appeared with his counsel and an interpreter. The immigration judge reviewed all the evidence, listened to all the testimony, provided full and fair review of the entire record, and provided a detailed 19-page opinion of the court's factual and legal conclusions and the basis for his determinations. This case was also reviewed by the Board of Immigration Appeal, who reviewed the IJ's decision, the record, and provided a written decision and the basis for affirming the immigration judge's decision. The court just mentioned the credibility issue. And I took a look at the entire record, which is over 800 pages in this case. I note that the judge made clear, specific, detailed findings on the petitioner's incredibility. I took a careful look at the record. Not only did the immigration judge point out three of the major material inconsistencies, but I've also noted that there are 9 material significant inconsistencies in this record. And I'd like to point those out to the court, if I may. The first one is where he stated at 374 that he often had his Liberal Party card in his wallet, And when the FARC saw it, they began to question him about that and lecture him about his activities. However, the Liberal Party card at 397 is dated 2-1901, which he did not receive until he came to the United States. At 101 in the record, he testified that after moving in 1986 to Cesar, he never carried the Liberal Party card. The record at 109, he stated that his comment that he carried the Liberal Party card was not accurate. And when he was asked to explain this inaccuracy in his affidavit, he stated that there must be some confusion. Also at 92, he noted that in his testimony that he did not need to register with the Liberal Party. The second inconsistency regards the incident in February or March of 2001 at the Santa Rita Ranch, where he indicated in his affidavit that uniformed FARC guerrillas came to him and told him that other FARC members needed to talk to him. However, in the complaint noted at 648 in the record, which was filed on 5-19-01, it indicated that 5 months ago he had received a note for a financial collaboration. He also indicated in his application in 663 that a stranger had approached him saying some people wanted to talk, and he also testified that, inconsistent with his affidavit, that it was a uniformed FARC guerrilla, that the stranger was in civilian clothes.
Now, Mr. Casey, I mean, you've reviewed some of this in your brief, and of course it's in the record. Can you tell us what avenue would be available for a petitioner like Mr. Orozco, who had later pertinent new evidence to bring that to the attention of the Attorney General? Is he just out of luck, or is there an avenue?
I'm unaware, Your Honor, at this point, what his avenue is. I'm not familiar with that, and I didn't prepare for this argument. There was nothing in the record. There was any new evidence. There was nothing that was brought to my attention, and I'm not prepared to respond to that.
Reopen, if I were to guess, but there are limitations on those that also apply. But certainly at this point, I think you're entitled to make your argument based on the record that was created already.
Your Honor, in the instant case, there are numerous, like I said, I can cite to the court 9 specific instances where not only the petitioner's affidavit, testimony, and applications are inconsistent, but the same is true for his wife's affidavit, testimony, and other evidence submitted in this case. His testimony was not credible. The record has numerous inconsistencies, and the court, the immigration judge, and the board is entitled to great substantial deference on that.
Okay.
Even if his testimony was not credible, he has not shown that...
was credible.
Even if we believed it, you mean to say, I think.
I'm sorry. Even if you assume for the moment that his testimony is credible, he has not shown that the treatment he received is persecution, and he has not shown that his past or future persecution would be based on account of a protected ground. Furthermore, he has not shown, because he has not shown that the 2 threatening phone calls, the harassment that he received, was past persecution, the burden is on him to show that he could not relocate in Colombia, even if he showed that these threatening phone calls were past persecution. I will add also, because he has not met his burden to show, the lower burden to show us that he has met his burden to make a claim for asylum, he cannot make the higher standards for withholding of removal or protection under the Torture Convention.
If you run out of things to say, it's all right to stop.
I have plenty to say, Your Honor. I
have another minute or two in which to say it, and then we'll have to rely on your brief and the record.
First of all, let me just say that he has not met his burden for past persecution, because as this court has recognized the hard truth that unpleasant and even dangerous country conditions do not necessarily rise to the level of persecution. The incidents of detention and questioning that the petitioner received in this case over a 10-year period do not rise to the level of past persecution. He was never beaten. He was never tortured. He was never harmed in any of these encounters. The treatment he received in the stops over this period since 1992 to 2001 are far too short and mild. This court has held that certainly more serious incidents of detention would constitute persecution. This court has stated that while threats alone may constitute persecution if they are of a most immediate and menacing nature.
We have a rule against your reading to us, you know.
I would just submit, Your Honor, that these unfulfilled threats do not rise to the level of persecution, as noted in the Hernandez versus Baena case.
That's your point.
I assume the government thinks that we ought to deny this petition for review.
Your Honor, for all the reasons in our brief and my comments, we would ask that this court deny the petition. Thank you.
Thank you very much. How much time? You have 2 more minutes.
Yes, Your Honor. Again, the inconsistencies that have been spoken about and are on the record, I believe and we submit that they are not, they don't go to the heart, you know, whether or not he was a member of the Liberal Party. I don't think that's been disputed. The incident in Santa Rita where he was summoned to a meeting, the immigration judge did concede that the only consistency was that he was asked to go to a meeting and he did not attend. Now, whether the people were uniformed or not, those are all minor details that in this type of process oftentimes get confused in the mind of the petitioner. Now, as far as whether or not the petitioner established that he could relocate within Colombia, I think the government makes this point very clear in their brief by stating the amount of power, the amount of money, intelligence that FARC has. So it is not reasonable for somebody that's wanted by FARC to relocate to another part of Colombia, given the amount of resources that they have. That's my argument, and we do pray that this decision gets turned or at least remanded so that the Board of Immigration Appeals can further clarify the decision.
All right. Thank you. Thank you to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.